I believe in the power of love.
I believe that a generation of young people...
I believe it deeply and sincerely.
I believe in the importance of passing this knowledge
I believe that everyone wants to love
All of
and
these add
loved.
Up to my belief in the dignity of the individual.
I believe in people.
This I believe.
Our series of essays, This I Believe, continues this morning with a man who was around for the original series half a century ago. In the 1950s, Norman Corwin was a noted radio dramatist and poet, a man from whom even Orson Welles took direction. This morning, our curator, independent producer Jay Allison, has Corwin's contribution to our series.
Norman Corwin is now 94 years old. His living room in Los Angeles holds the accumulated evidence of a productive life in broadcasting and the arts, along with new manuscripts he's developing for the future. His home also contains his baseball souvenirs. Corwin is a lifelong fan, and he finds in the game metaphors for his belief in the gentle triumph of goodness. Here is Norman Corwin with his essay for This I Believe.
Years ago, while watching a baseball game on television, I saw Oral Hershiser, pitching for the Dodgers, throw a fastball that hit a batter. The camera was on a close-up of Hershiser, and I could read his lips as he mouthed, "I'm sorry." And the batter, taking first base, nodded to him in a friendly way, and the game went on. Just two words, and I felt good about Hershiser and the batter and the game all at once. It was only a common courtesy, but it made an impression striking enough for me to remember after many summers. The blood relatives of common courtesy are kindness, sympathy, and consideration, and the reward for exercising them is to feel good about having done so. When a motorist at an intersection signals to another who's waiting to join the flow of traffic, "Go ahead, it's okay, move in," and the recipient of the favor smiles and makes a gesture of appreciation, the giver enjoys a glow of pleasure. It's a very little thing, but it represents something quite big. Ultimately, it's related to compassion, a quality that's in very short supply lately and getting scarcer. But look, let's not kid ourselves. It would be foolish to hope that kindness, consideration, and compassion will right wrongs and heal wounds and keep the peace and set the new century on a course to recover from inherited ills. That would be asking a lot from even a heaven-sent methodology, and heaven is not in that business. It comes down to the value of examples, which can be either positive or negative, and it works like this. Because of the principle that a calm sea and prosperous voyage do not make news, but a shipwreck does, most circulated news is bad news. The badness of it is publicized, and the negative publicity attracts more of the same through repetition and imitation. But good can be as communicable as evil, and that's where kindness and compassion come into play. So long as conscionable and caring people are around, so long as they're not muted or exiled, so long as they remain alert in thought and action, there's a chance for contagions of the right stuff, whereby democracy becomes no longer a choice of lesser evils, whereby the right to vote is not betrayed by staying away from the polls, whereby the freedoms of speech, assembly, religion, and dissent are never forsaken. But why linger? Why wait to begin planting seeds, however long they take to germinate? It took us 200-plus years to get into the straits we now occupy, and it may take us as long again to get out, but there must be a beginning.
The radio dramatist Norman Corwin, who turns 95 next week, reading his essay for This I Believe. We invite you, too, to distill your personal beliefs into 3 minutes. You can find out how to submit your writing and hear essays from the original series from the 1950s on our website at npr.org. For This I Believe, I'm Jay Allison.
Our series This I Believe continues next week on All Things Considered with an essay from the filmmaker Errol Morris.